This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the No Pork Eating American Lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm terrific. Glad to have you back and glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, welcome. It's good to be back. Good to be back. Yeah, had a little bit of bout with the China virus there, and but doing much better. Thank you. Doing much better.
Well,
have a craving for Chinese food though, man.
Hey, I'll take two egg rolls with that Chinese flu, please. Thank you.
My eyes are a little bit slanted or crooked or so. We'll have to see what happens. And I drive
as
like
driving.
Crap for the last. Oh man, I tell you what, talk about fatigue. Holy crap, that really kicked my butt. Can't believe it. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
just
it's no joke that COVID is serious business.
And thank you for the ivermectin. So, appreciate
it. Well, I hope it helped. And you never know. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but it sure didn't hurt.
No, it didn't. And I had very, very little side effects. But I had a lingering low grade temperature for 4 days, and that was interesting. And but definitely feeling better. And back on my feet and back to work. And like I said, I had egg roll, wonton soup, and I had fried rice here earlier today, so I felt pretty good. So,
excellent. I think that's what did it.
That's what did it.
I think that was it. Forget all the other stuff. I think it was the Chinese food that killed the virus.
One from column A, two from column B. How you doing? Oh, man. How you doing? You all right?
Hey, I'm terrific. Broke 80 for the first time ever.
What?
On a
Did you?
Difficult golf course. Yes, shot a 77.
Well,
and that's a big day for me. Best score. Why, thank you. It's a very outstanding. For you, that's, and a lot of people, no big deal. But for me and my golfing world, that is quite the achievement.
That is absolutely awesome. Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I bet it felt pretty good, huh?
you get in the zone and it's happening, but you don't really, you know it's happening, and it's just, you're in the zone. It's a very good feeling.
Yeah, man, that is great. Congratulations, eh? Keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going.
Hey.
Boy, you know, welcome to the, getting up there to the club, man. Welcome to the club.
Well, breaking 80 is, it's a thing.
Well, it is.
I haven't done it since, but it's a thing.
Well, you know, this past weekend was the second leg of the FedEx Cup. It was the BMW Championship played at Wilmington Country Club in Delaware. Last year's FedEx champion, Patrick Cantlay, has been finding his stride just in time for the playoffs. And this past weekend, Cantlay kept his foot on the pedal, rising to the top to beat world number one Scotty Scheffler and a surging Scott Stallings, who finished second to Cantlay at 13 under. And good for Stallings. He's been playing really well this last 2 months, and it's really starting to pay off for him in the playoffs. The BMW Championship pairs the field down to the top 70 in FedEx points. And at the end of the BMW, the top 30 move on to next week's finals at Eastlake in Atlanta. And by virtue of Cantlay's win, he vaults into the second place position on the FedEx Cup, while Scotty Scheffler moved back into the number one in FedEx points. But what hurts, though, is one putt moved Aaron Wise into the top 30, the final spot, and it dropped Shane Lowry from the 30th position to 31, and Shane Lowry misses the final playoff week. Poor J.J. Spahn, this guy's been playing so well. He was so poised to vault into the top 15th position last week, and then he just absolutely fell apart. The last round, shoots a 78 last week. This past weekend, he didn't play near as well either, and he ends up in the 33rd spot. So he goes from possibly making Eastlake qualifying this past week, and he doesn't finish in the top 30. So hopefully that young man will be back. But next week will be fun because anyone in the top 30 can win the FedEx Cup and the $15 million prize. Scheffler starts off the week at 10 under par. Cantlay will start off Thursday at 8 under par. And then it goes down to 2 for the top 10 and then 1 from the top, was it top 50, 10 to 15? It drops one more. Then I think you get one under par from the 25th to the 30th position. So it's going to be really, really cool. Interesting to see what happens.
Yep, and in the seniors, the tournament of champions, Padraig Harrington had a commanding lead and won. I don't know if you caught any of the Champions Tour.
I did not.
This Padraig Harrington just turned 50, so I guess he just went upstairs to the Champions, the old guys tournament. But he was bombing 300, 330 yards, 340. Off the tee, and the guys just couldn't keep up with him. He ended up with 5 under, 4 strokes ahead, and won the tournament. Ernie Els self-destructed. He was holding number one for 2 days. Very exciting. Good to see him up there.
Yeah, you know, Padraig Harrington at 50 years old, he's been working on this speed drill, and he has picked up no less than like 10 or 12 yards per drive. And he is hitting it past 20, 30 yards past the seniors, to the point where when he plays on tour, he's actually playing pretty well. And it's amazing how much distance that he's picked up at the age of 50 and how well he's playing. And he's won like 2 of the last, you know, 4 tournaments he's played in. So,
Yeah, you should see his practice swings. Like he's swinging out of his shoes, and it's about fast. It blows my mind watching him, but he keeps it under control, and he's able to hit it straight and win. So we'll be seeing a lot more of Mr. Harrington.
Yeah, good for him. He's he's a good player, and I tell you what, it's really kind of cool to watch this guy, and he's hitting it damn straight too. It's like whoop, that is. But yeah, the old guys. Hey, good for the old guys, right?
Yeah. Good to see that. Out-bombing the younger guys or the older guys. And a lot of the younger guys, too.
You know, speaking of bombs, Brian Stelter is out at CNN. So DNC CNN is making a change. The destructive Democrat Party is extreme and radical, and it's been revealed at DNC CNN. There's nothing mainstream about the politics of Democrats. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. The bias and partisan nature of their extreme politics, the Democrat Party's anti-American and anti-constitutional belief system, their actions speak volumes to indenture Americans to big government takeover of America. And as much as the left-wing radical news media tries to spin their opinions, temper their titles with inclusive-sounding names, the Democrat Party is the most adversarial political party in U.S. history. The Democrat Party stands for everything that is wrong with America today, the evils, the wokeness, the discriminations, the hate. And the fact is DNC, CNN's ratings are tanking. And they've been tanking since Americans have rejected their radical ideology and no longer believe their irrational and anti-American tenor. Biden building a fence around his Delaware compound, you know, what the hell's up with that? And CNN decides they're going to spin it a different way. Well, you know what? They put their eggs in one basket, in the basket case of Biden, and those news readers on DNC, CNN are dropping like flies.
Good. I guess after 18 months of no Trump to report, they're imploding upon themselves because they can't report on Biden. They can't tell the truth about what a horrible Marxist president he is and how much he's damaging the country. And all they can do is go after Trump, but he's not there. Well, they're making him there, but they're manufacturing everything. So adios, Stelter. May CNN fall into the pit of hell.
Well, you ain't kidding. You know, and at some point in time, the ownership of CNN, which at one time was AT&T, and I think did they sell the station? But you know, it's unbelievable, you know, how left wing and apologetic CNN has gotten, and they put these individuals on like the Kumos and who believe that they're above everything else in politics. And, you know, they're the smart guys, supposedly, right? They're supposedly the smart guys. And in the meantime, what's going on? The American people are not getting the truth. You've got the Democrat Party's running roughshod over the American people, over we the people. They're spending money like drunken sailors. And all the DNC media outlets, all they do is they sanitize the Biden crime family. They sanitize Joe Biden and his ineptness. They sanitize Hunter Biden and his sordid lifestyle. I mean, and certainly if it was a Eric Trump or a Donald Trump Jr. who conducted their lives in the manner in which Hunter Biden had, they would have raked those two young men over the coals. But, it's very telling what we're seeing, and it's disgusting. So adios, Stelter. You know, take a couple of the other left-wingers with you.
Yeah. And we've got some more golf news to report in the LIV Golf. Seven new additions, including number two ranked Cameron Smith, who just signed a $100 million deal with LIV Golf. The other
goodbye.
Six have not.
Who cares?
But a very interesting story is a cultural story where sports and politics collide. James Scott Davidson, soon to be a household name, also known as Haley Davidson, is making his way to get onto the LPGA. And the rules have been changed for him to go as a woman if he can score enough, which he should be able to.
This is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. You know, first of all, he should be ashamed for playing for the red tees. You know, I mean, if you can't cut it from the men's tees, then you should, you know, turn into a lady and play from the red tees. Okay, all joking aside, first of all, he's played as a male, He's played semi-professional as a male. There is no way, shape, or form this dude, this cross-dressing dude, should be playing ladies' professional golf. None, zero. I don't care if he qualifies. This is the LPGA. And all they're doing is they're taking away from women once again. Women have busted their asses to get equality in sports, and now you have another thief, another cross-dressing thief, going into the ladies' professional sports to steal another spot from a woman, a biological woman who's worked her ass off for the recognition that she truly deserves. This bozo couldn't make it as a male golfer, so now he decided he's going to cross-dress into a female. You know, the LPGA, shame on them. Enough is enough with this. This is getting insane. It's bad enough sports is being ruined by the greed of money, and now you've got the greed of men who can't make it as men in their own respective sports. So now this dude's got to put a dress on, and he's got to play from the ladies' tees. Bullshit. Shame on the LPGA for changing any type of rules to accommodate a dude who's crossing over into a cross-dressing so that he can play on the ladies' tour.
It's part of the problem when culture collides with the USGA, the United States Golf Association, and the PGA and the LPGA. They have become culturally woke, as the word says. I call it being liberalized and becoming Marxist, but they become culturally woke, and which I believe is also a part of the reason that so many golfers are moving to the LIV, and what gave the LIV the opening that they needed to succeed or fail based on whatever they do in the next upcoming years, in my opinion.
Yeah, Greg Norman's a whore. Greg Norman had a hard-on for the PGA. You know, he made his billions off of the PGA Tour. He made his billions off the PGA. He bought a golf company off of the PGA. He built the brand, the shark, off the PGA. And now he's using and abusing the greed of the young players who don't have a real appreciation of what it means to be a professional golfer. So I don't really give a shit about LIV, the Saudi LIV League. They traded themselves from being an independent contract to an employee of the Saudi LIV Tour. So hell with them all. I don't really care. And you know what? If it turns out that he fucks golf, I won't watch golf anymore. Who cares?
Whatever the reasons may be, this is, I believe, one of the data points that's a part of the problem with the USGA, the PGA, and the LPGA is this wokeness is going to cause them brokenness, quite possibly, and has definitely put some cheeks in the armor and has opened the door for something like LIV to compete. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I just think it's just one interesting cultural anomaly when you have James Scott Davidson with the rules being changed to have him be allowed to play as a woman, even though he's got his unit cut off and did all the transition is that whatever guys do to become broads, and it's pretty extensive, he's still a dude. His chromosomes have not changed. He is a man cross-dressing as a woman. How much he mutilated his body does not change anything. That was his personal choice. God bless him. I hope it makes him very happy, but he's still a guy. And with the guy, as a man, you don't play the LPGA, period, or shouldn't.
You shouldn't, right.
Right. But I'm sure Hank Jones will be discussing this matter in depth on Wednesday.
You know, I heard, that's true. Wednesday at 5:30, check out Hank Jones Poly Sports right here on Global Patriot Radio. I heard Bruce Jenner make a comment about, and he said something that was kind of interesting. He said that he's like 70 years old, and despite all the shots that he's gotten, the transition, whatever, the hormonal shots he's got, he goes, I still hit it as far as I did. I hit it better than females do, biological females. He goes, there's no amount of I can't remember how he said it, but there's no amount of transitioning that's going to prohibit him from not having more power than a biological female. And he's right. I mean, oh my God. It's awful. It really is.
All right. Is it a sign of our cultural decline as a country?
Yes. Yeah. I without a doubt. You know, the Marxists have gained control of the topics, of the agenda in America. This wokeness, it's BLM. Look how quickly the NFL succumbed to the Marxism of Black Lives Matters. And it's exactly what Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama wanted. It's exactly what George Soros wants. And it's a disruption of our constitutional republic. They want to tear down everything that has made this mm-hmm. country great. And this is all part of it. For what? For the transgender movement it makes up less than 0.5% of the population in America, and they're dictating 95% of the policies. And these people that are running these political sports organizations have absolutely succumbed to this radical movement.
Yeah, and 2 years later, we've learned that Black Lives Matter, the BLM movement, is a Marxist organization, exactly as we were saying, because you and I both did the research into this BLM, and 2 years ago, we were saying that they are Marxist. Their founders are Marxist, and they have a Marxist ideology. And whenever we would talk about it or put up posts on Twitter or Facebook, the fact checkers were all over us, and we'd get timed out, we'd get canceled. And now it ends up being true that we were right all along, very similar to the CDC backing up and saying that they were wrong about how they handled the China virus.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
Which I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more later.
You know, it's just it's interesting to see what's going to happen with this whole thing. And no sport is immune from it anymore. Swimming, you thought the NCAA would learn its lesson, but the NCAA then doubles down on it. And then you watch some of these TV shows and we're honoring women's sports and Title IX, 50 years later, and we're watching the abuse that biological women are taking, in all facets of sports, from swimming to track and field, and now golf. It'll be tennis as well as next. Dr. Renee Richards is the one that broke that barrier, but it's going to change as well. There'll be some dudes who can't make it on the ATP circuit, so now they'll cross dress and put a little dress on and try to play as a woman and, hide their junk or their twig and berries will be high head, and it's like, it's just insane. It's truly insane what we're seeing.
Twigs and berries. I haven't heard that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a term that
I call them chicks with dicks, but I haven't heard twigs with berries. Twigs and berries. That's good.
Did you make that up yourself? Bigfoot put it in the chat room, and it's a slogan that Ben Shapiro coined.
Well, outstanding. Twigs and berries.
Oh my God! And the sad part of it is, I would bet that the LGBT, the gay community in general, the gay community doesn't want to see this nonsense. I bet that the majority of the gay community doesn't want to see this because all they want to do is be able to live their lives, leave them alone, okay, accept them for who they are, and they'll be part of the fabric and they'll contribute. Just leave them alone. But you've got these flamboyant, it's this Marxism, this Marxist culture that wants to challenge Americans, that wants to challenge every day and challenge and challenge society. And that's exactly what's wrong with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. This is what makes him such an agitator, an anti-American agitator. And this is what the ruination of sports will be. Overall, I mean, you know, first of all, the money is one thing, but secondly, it's this whole issue now that we're facing, mm-hmm. that this cultural change, this cultural divide.
Yep. Hey, we got a caller. I think I know who this is. Welcome.
Hey guys, it's Hank.
Hey Hank, how you doing?
You knew I couldn't resist after our Twitter exchange, and then as you guys get into this story.
Well, I'm glad you called to weigh in.
You know, the swimming body, the world governing body for swimming, finally came out and said, you know, no more. Willia Thomas, you're done. You know, I mean, it's so they get it right, and then leave it to someone else, golf or whoever, to turn around. And you know, even track is starting to get it right. They're making that one runner who is not eligible for certain distances. And why does golf turn around and do this? I mean, I know Vito and you aren't big fans of the LIV Golf Tour and all, but frankly, at least they're not, you know, yet. I mean, I haven't seen Phyllis Mickelson suit up for the tour yet.
Is Phil changing?
I'm thinking that's when they start a LIV Women's Tour, he'll be Phyllis Mickelson, but I could be wrong.
I wonder if he'll get out of all of his gambling debts if he changes gender.
I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, why is golf doing this? Why is the LPGA allowing? I mean, I just don't understand it. I really don't.
They're woke.
But I mean, at some point, are there not enough? You know, of the actual tour players that are speaking up. I mean, you know, I didn't realize this has actually happened in pro wrestling. One of the organizations, I think it's All Elite, has a trans woman as the woman's champion. And a guy came out and said, this is nuts, so to speak. I think this is almost nuts is how he said it, or something like that. And there were actually men's wrestlers who defended them and said, oh, no, he needs to, you know. I mean, what the hell? I mean, there's just no explaining it. It's woke. I mean, woke's the quick explanation, but woke, I'm sorry, that just doesn't work. I mean, on what planet is it a good idea to say, you know what, we're going to let Bill play as Wilhelmina? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. What planet? Exactly.
I mean, Vito, first of all, you've seen my game. It's not greatest, but you think you could get me down to an 88 from the women's tees? That's what I think Al said on Twitter, is that if you can shoot 88 for three rounds in a row, you think you could get me into shape and I could
yes.
play as Henrietta Jones?
I am convinced I can do that, Hank. I am convinced.
Okay. Now, I have to ask you guys this. Does this skort make my ass look fat?
I don't know, but those hairy legs sure are sexy.
Well, I can do the shape thing. I mean, it's just extending the shaving that I do on my face. I mean, it's gonna tear the crap out of the Mach 3 blades for a few times, but after a while, I'm sure I could figure it out. But I mean, that's what it's becoming. It's literally, I mean, when is LeBron gonna? Well, that won't be a LeBron, but when is the real, like, when is the guy gonna get drafted by the NBA who then says, I'm really a woman, I need to play in the WNBA? You know, the guy that gets cut. You know, I know
Griner.
People make the argument that Griner is a man. I don't know. But Griner's never played as a man, as far as I know. But, I mean, what's going to happen when some guy, you know, the guy who's like a second-round draft choice out of Oklahoma State, he's a decent player, but he's just not good enough to make an NBA team and stick. So he's just going to say, you know what, they're getting good money in the WNBA. Why don't I give this a – well, I'm not even going to say it, but, I mean – how long? I mean, will it get to that? I mean, I had Steve Dace on my show a couple of years ago, and he said, really, yeah, it's going to be like groups like the NCAA. He says, but before that, it's really got to be the American people. I mean, the American people have to be willing to say, guess what, folks, we're not coming to any more LPGA things. Guess what, folks, we're not going to tune in to your stupid show on Sunday to see some guy pretend to be a woman and hit, you know, That's what it's going to take.
You know what, Hank? That's a really good point. That's a really good point, and I'll tell you why it's a good point. You have the LPGA right now who is really thriving for a market share, and they're doing all they can. And I think that having this dude who's dressed up as a woman play on a weekend is only going to hurt the ratings. I won't have any interest in watching it. I want to watch these biological women and watch their craft, watch how well they play. I want to watch them play. I want to watch Michelle Wee. I want to watch Gabby Lopez. You know, I want to watch these ladies play. I don't want to watch some dude dressed up as a girl, a woman, cross-dressing, you know, hit the golf ball. If I want to do that, I can watch the guys play golf, okay? There's nothing I don't find it at all, you know, impressive. That I'd rather watch this Korean lady who hits the ball, you know, 300 yards, okay, this 5'4" lady who just uncorks it and hits it so well. That's what I want to watch. And to watch these dudes take away from these girls, it's going to kill the ratings of the LPGA.
I can't think that it's not going to. I mean, here's what you equate it. It's literally the guy that couldn't keep up on the men's tour, and it's like he fell two foursomes behind, so it's like you've got to go over to this course. I mean, that's what it feels like. It literally feels like the guy who got kicked off the A team to, you know, I mean, it's just, it, I don't know. I mean, the PGA is probably going to be, you know, in solidarity. Would you guess or not?
They're going to support the LPGA on this one. They have to. I mean, that's part of their gig is to support the LPGA, and unfortunately, that's the sad reality of it. Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh.
I'm hearing some good music, though.
I know. What the hell is that from?
Well, I figured it's something you guys must have hit it.
No. That was weird. Someone doesn't
our
discussion.
maybe the SBO, the NSC or the NSA or one of them's listening to us. You just don't know. I mean, what's going
to
happen though?
That was
if Rory McIlroy comes out and says, you know, this is wrong, is he going to face problems? You know, that's just it. I mean, that's the other thing that'll chase people to the LIV Tour. Is not so much that they can or can't make money on the PGA Tour. It's that, look, I mean, I've got to pretend that I think it's cool that this guy's playing on the women's tour. Screw this. That's one thing you won't have to worry about with a LIV Tour. I mean, for all the Saudis and their oppression, at least you won't see this kind of stuff. I mean, it may not be much of a consolation, but...
Well, that's a good point, because the Chinese are all in favor. They're not going to stop it. They're going to encourage it. And the Chinese are big, big money people for the PGA and LPGA. And on a personal note, James Davidson is worth, that's the male name for Haley Davidson, the cross-dressing golfer, has a net worth of $11 million. So this is more than just money.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the same with Willie Thomas. You notice it wasn't it wasn't some black guy from Detroit Mercy who decided to swim as a woman. It was a guy at an Ivy League school, you know what I mean, who probably has some family backing. You know, I mean, we're going to find out with Willie Thomas. I'm pretty sure 20 years from now, we're going to find out that it was he or she, whatever, was paid, went along with this. Because, I mean, there's too many red flags in other stories. I mean, like showing his crank in the locker room, bragging on his crank. I mean, literally bragging on his crank, talking about how he's into women and he gets to see the chicks in the locker room. I mean, that's not somebody who identifies as a woman. That's a total ruse. And I think we're going to find that out. I think that's why swimming did it. But this, I don't know. There's something just not right about it. I lack the insight to know why the PGA would put up with it. And you mentioned the Chinese, but you know, I don't know. Maybe that's, it's as simple as that. They're paying for it, and they want to see us self-destruct.
Unlike the Saudi LIV Tour, the PGA doesn't need the Chinese. The Saudi LIV needs the Saudis funding. I, for one, it's not going to drive me to watch the Saudi Live Tour. I'll just stop watching golf. That's all there is to it. So, yeah. I mean, I'm over it. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is just getting insane is what it is.
But again, that's what'll kill the PGA, but that's also what'll drive PGA golfers to the Live Tour is the fact that, you know, as part of the, as in solidarity with the PGA, we support this. Well, I'm sorry. If I were on the PGA Tour, there's no way you could, I mean, you couldn't ask me. I'm not going to say no comment if they ask me about it because my no comment is really just telling them what I really think anyway. So why not just go for broke and tell them, you know, this is idiotic. This is insane. This is a mental disease. Steve Day said it. It's a mental disease. This isn't about equity or equality or, you know, fair company. This is a mental, it's a mental disease. I mean, when somebody literally has played as a woman or swam or as a man, swam as a man, hit baseballs as a man, I don't care what it is, and then suddenly says, I'm a woman and still wants to compete. I mean, you know, you notice Bruce Jenner didn't do it when he was, you know, 28. He didn't decide he was a woman when he was 28 because he had a gold medal to win. You know, he did it at a time when it was, there was nothing left for him to, you know, athletically. So
your reasoning for him to become a chick now is very plausible. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, literally, if you're going through this crisis in your life, and let's face it, if you really think that you're a woman, that's a crisis. I mean, I'm not saying it's a tragedy, but I mean, it is a crisis. That's an internal crisis. You're messed up. You're thinking, you know, am I really? You know, you're thinking therapy, and you're thinking things like that. I don't really think somebody who's really going through that is thinking, you know what, I get an extra 15, 20 yards in the tee box now. I mean, if you are thinking that, then Steve Dace is right. It's a mental disease. It is a mental. I mean, you know, the AA, the guy that goes to AA who makes the commitment that, you know what, I'm a problem drinker, I can't control myself, he's not immediately thinking, you know what, I need to start competing against drunks in the pool hall because I could probably win now because I'm sober. You know, I mean, I don't think someone thinks that. They think, you know, it's daily survival. It's just that's what I'm saying. It's a mental disease. It's just the only way to rationalize it and not tear my hair out, I guess.
So you have a lot to talk about this Wednesday. I'm sure that'll be part of it, and any other discussion.
Well, a little part of it, but it's also we're kicking off college football, so Hawkeye Mike and Indy Hawk are going to be on to talk a little bit. So,
we'll probably
Hawkeye Mike is really into golf, and his father was a state champion. Amateur, like a adult amateur champion, several times back in Iowa, I believe, and so he has a lot to say about it. He'll have something to say about it. So yeah, tune in because it might get good.
Hey, great. Got a question, Hank. Hank, are you seeing the players? Because I haven't watched any of the NFL yet. Are the players standing for the national anthem, or are they even having the national anthem before the games?
The only NFL preseason I have watched, I look for highlights of former Hawkeye players. I mean, I don't care what the guy from Alabama is doing, whether he's going to make the team, because if he's not, he's got enough NIL money from the Alabama fund just to tide him over. So I'm just watching highlights. I'm not watching whole games, and frankly, you've heard my stance. I think the national anthem should be done at all. Just get rid of it at all the games. Get rid of the halftime show. I don't really care whether the Tennessee band is doing a retrospective on the life of Fats Waller or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't care. I want the game. You know, I don't need a 40-minute halftime show. If you can't, I mean, I get it. There are stadiums where the bathrooms are really crowded, so they need to waste 40 minutes. But don't waste it on a retrospective of Whitney Houston by the college band. You know, I don't need a fat kid from Dubuque, Iowa, showing me that he's got Whitney Houston music down on his flute, you know?
Yeah, but I want the national anthem. I love the national anthem at the beginning of every sports event. It makes me proud to be an American. I want it, and if I don't have it, I think it diminishes our culture.
Watch the broadcasts anymore. It's not whether or not the players are paying it respect. Three quarters of the gulp of their beer. You got people with their Cubs hat on backwards, or some moron who's wearing no shirt in November in Cleveland, you know, with a Browns logo painted on his chest. I mean, and showing the camera that during the national anthem. So, you know, we've already, I mean, well before Colin Kaepernick and his contrived kneeling, we already weren't showing enough respect to the anthem and the flag. So I say get rid of the ruse.
I don't argue with you. You're 100% right, but I think it needs to change, and it is a changeable behavior.
True. Yeah, now, you're absolutely right. It is a changeable behavior, no doubt about it. And you know what? It's going to take the parent smacking the kid's hat off his head during the national anthem. You know, it's going to take the Patriot knocking down his buddy's beer, because it's like, dude, you couldn't wait 1 minute and 48 seconds more to take that next slug of Meisterbrau or whatever it is, whatever beer you're overpaying for. I mean, yeah, excellent point. So, hey, I'll let you guys get back to it. Thanks for taking my call. And,
okay.
You did hear about Tom Weisskopf dying.
Yes, I did. That's leading my obits for one of my obits for Wednesday. Yeah, people, you know, yeah, he had his wins, but it's his second place tie with Johnny Miller in the 1975 Masters may be his high point, aside from his British Open championship and stuff. I mean, he and Miller both were, you know, had the 75 Masters dead to rights, and Jack came out of nowhere. And the better he played, the worse Miller and Weisskopf seemed to play. I mean, they are obviously looking ahead and seeing what was happening, and they just, I don't want to say they choked, but they certainly didn't come through when they needed to. So,
God, he's
but
he
yeah,
had
great,
a swing.
Great man.
Oh, he had
oh,
his,
he
Tom
sure
Weisskopf
did.
Was so smooth. 16-time winner on the PGA Tour. I met him once, 1978. October of 78, I believe it was. And wow. I mean, he was just a tall, you know, he was a tall guy. And boy, I followed him the whole round, and I just loved him. He just hit the ball so well. A guy named Lon Henkel he was playing with. I'll never forget. He's like, holy crap, this guy can hit the ball. Jeez.
Yeah. And you know, he's one of those that went on to good success designing courses afterwards.
Yeah.
I think a lot of his projects were, I don't want to say redesigns, but sort of like, you know, he wasn't, I mean, yeah, he did design some whole courses, but he did a lot of projects at existing courses that kind of like, renovations. Yeah, I guess you'd say renovations, but in some cases sort of like add-ons too, sort of like, you know, adding an 18 at a hole, you know, at a place that had, you know, 54 holes as an example, like at a resort or whatever. I mean, and sure. Frankly, you know, he did some work at Troon where he won his British Open. So, you
and
know,
also
I'd say
Torrey Pines, the North Course at Torrey Pines in 2016, he was responsible for the renovation of that course. So, yeah, the guy
was
talented.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just
absolutely.
Wow. What a nice spoken man too. God.
And Tom Watson, you know, was one of the first ones that paid him tribute. You know, I think, yeah, just he's one of the good guys. You know, and you know that because you didn't hear all kinds of stuff about him in his post playing career. You know, he didn't make news every day for doing something stupid or controversial or whatever. He just went about his business, and he was still an ambassador for the game of golf. You know, and it's just sad. I mean, I 79 is younger every day. You know, it's not, you know, 79, 30 years ago, you'd say, man, he's lived a long life. But now 79, it's like, man, he probably still had a lot left. So was it pancreatic cancer for him?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's sad because usually that's one of the cancers that by the time it's discovered, you know, by the time it becomes symptomatic, it's usually too late. So,
yeah.
It's just sad. So I'll let you guys
get
back to it.
Okay,
thanks,
Hank.
Guys. We'll talk
all
to you
right,
later.
Hank, great
bye.
Call. Wednesday, 5:30.
Right here on Global Patriot Radio. All right. Yeah, that was a good call, Hank. Speaking of botching, August, the anniversary of Joe Biden botching Afghanistan. It was Biden's first foreign policy. And it was an abject failure. And as Barack Hussein Sator Obama stated about Joe Biden, don't underestimate Joe to fuck things up. Joe Biden didn't waste any time screwing up the economy and energy in his for domestic policies, but in his first foreign policy foray, he screws up Afghanistan. Daniel Greenfield writes, while Biden's panicked evacuation from Afghanistan was going on, it had failed so badly that staffers from his own wife's office were contacting private rescue groups to get people out. This is one of the many damning revelations in the report by Representative McCaul for the Republican minority on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The interim report, a strategic failure, was conducted despite every possible effort by the White House and House Democrats to stop it, including blocking information requests and keeping briefings unnecessarily classified. And you see, this is why the American people are angry. This is why the American people are upset. This is how come partisanship now has become so severe in this country. Because if there was any honesty whatsoever, the mission to derail and to unseat Donald Trump and undermine his presidency and his post-presidency is to eradicate him from the history books. In the meantime, it's to sanitize how feckless of a leader Joe Biden is. This man is a phony and a fraud. And now you have the cover-up in government to sanitize Joe Biden and his feckless policies. With the revelations that the State Department is actively refusing to cooperate with the Special Inspector General on Afghanistan reconstruction, this report is more urgent than ever. So why the roadblocks? Why? Because it really goes to show how bad Joe Biden truly is. The man was never qualified to be dog catcher of the United States, let alone president of the United States. But the fall of Afghanistan was an abject failure. It failed so badly, and as Daniel Pipes writes, it failed so badly that the staffers from his own wife's office were contacting private rescue groups to get people out. The United States of America, the greatest country in the world, the most powerful country in the world militarily, was brought to its knees in less than 7 months with Joe Biden in the White House. And now you've got a concerted effort by the Democrat Party to conceal how poor the Biden administration truly is. Forced to rely on personal interviews and public non-classified testimony, the report reveals that Biden had made it a priority to maintain an embassy in Kabul even after it had withdrawn the troops and the country was on the verge of falling off to the advancing Taliban terror forces. POTUS was publicly making it clear this was a priority. Ambassador Wilson began stating that I am maniacal about the embassy remaining in Kabul, a military officer described. Secretary of State Blinken and other State Department officials in D.C. and in Kabul refused to answer the possibility of Taliban takeover. And so here you have the concealment by the administration refusing to acknowledge the advancement of the Taliban. And again, the lack of transparency got 13 Americans killed, the 13 American soldiers killed in Afghanistan unnecessarily. Why? Because Joe Biden is no leader. Joe Biden is a failure. And unfortunately, our United States military is in poor hands while Joe Biden's in the White House. And now you have a cover-up by the United States Senate led by Chuck Schumer, a cover-up in the United States House led by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, covering up what should be an open book right now. Why did this happen in Afghanistan? How could it have happened in Afghanistan? And yet you have the D.C. swamp covering up and once again protecting Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. This is an absolute disgrace. And this is why the American people are pissed off. This is why the American people are angry. And it is why Donald Trump is still appealing to the American people. The lack of honesty, the lack of transparency, the flat-out dishonest nature of politics today in Washington, D.C. If you're part of that good old boy system, whether you're on the Republican or Democrat side of the aisle, you're a protected species in Washington, D.C. Unless, of course, you're Liz Cheney. The American people have had enough. We have had enough of this. We are losing our country. We're losing our heritage by this woke movement. And now you have a mission by the swamp to erase everything that Trump did that was positive, that held America in esteem. And you have the select committee, the House Affairs Committee, is being speed bumped, is being railroaded by the Democrat Party. And you know what? I'm sorry. It's being railroaded by the politicians in Washington, D.C., because the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats, those that are currently in Washington, D.C. Why aren't they making this a national story? This is from Front Page Magazine. Huh? Certainly somebody, 1, 2, 3, 4 members of the United States Republican delegation can get on some sort of medium and start talking about how this is being covered up by the Pelosi regime. This is being covered up by Chuck Schumer. This is how dishonest politicians are today. They're reaping hundreds of millions of dollars. They're padding their own pocketbooks and purses. And they're covering up the fall of Afghanistan that should have never occurred. POTUS was publicly making it clear that this was a priority. Ambassador Wilson began stating, Secretary of State Blinken and other State Department officials in D.C. and Kabul refused to consider the possibility of a Taliban takeover. Yeah, the Taliban, 2 weeks prior, were making inroads in northwestern Afghanistan, and this administration was quiet. The Taliban started moving south, and the Biden and Harris regime was quiet, didn't say a damn word. And in the end, 13 American soldiers are dead because of Joe Biden. Military officials were prevented from even discussing an evacuation, being told, don't say NEO. This is not a NEO for Afghanistan. NEO stands for non-combatant evacuation. This is negligence. This is negligence on so many fronts. This is treason on so many fronts. We were told during the campaign in 2020 of how much Joe Biden was this foreign policy guru. We were being sold a bag of goods. And his first foreign policy foray, it failed. He flunked. He gets a big, fat zero. And a year later, Afghanistan is far worse than it was. The Taliban has no interest in equality. The Taliban suppressing women once again. The Taliban is back to being the Taliban, oppressive. And you can thank Joe Biden for that and his feckless leadership. The report notes that most of the officers working at the Joint Operations Center were also pressed into security duties as the mob got within 150 meters of that key command center. And the abandoned and isolated personnel on the ground were under Taliban fire. The military helicopters evacuating the embassy had to evade constant enemy fire. The airport guard towers received small arms fire throughout the day, and Taliban mortars forced the closure of the airport. The suicide bombing that killed 13 service members was the inevitable result of Biden's bad decisions, which turned the American presence in Kabul into a Fort Apache. With no plan, deprived of proper military support, isolated in small strip of land, surrounded by armed enemies and dangerous mobs, Biden led American military personnel into a trap. Biden lied and Americans died. And Biden's lying happens to be habitual. It's a chronic occurrence. It's a common occurrence. It's a daily occurrence with Biden. While the State Department focuses on Biden's priority of maintaining an embassy led directly to the wretched scenes of American citizens being beaten by the Taliban and left behind under fire, Biden's military brass also has plenty to answer for. The Taliban had offered, why don't you just take security for all of Kabul, General McKenzie replied. That's not what my instruction. The Taliban had urged, we want you to have it. That would have required thousands more troops that Biden refused to authorize. Excuse me. General McKenzie had initially planned to tell the Taliban to stop outside the city, but in the meeting instead told the Islamic terrorism group that he had no opinion on them taking the city. Did you ever think 19 years, brave men and women of the military gave their blood, their sweat, they gave limbs, and they gave their life only to have one feckless old fraud, Joe Biden, cede Afghanistan back to the Taliban terrorists. We certainly can thank Barack Hussein Sator Obama for turning over the Taliban brass to Qatar, which then the Taliban brass, the five Taliban brass who formed the Taliban, were back in business. Thank you to Bergdahl. Thank you to Barack Hussein Sator Obama. And in less than 7 months from being installed into the White House, bonehead Biden's blunder just simply gave the Taliban Afghanistan, surrendered American military installations, 13 U.S. soldiers dead in less than 7 months. I mean, this is unconscionable. We thought we'd never, ever see this happen, but it's no more accidental. This is all intentional. The intentional tanking of the U.S. economy, the intentional tanking of Americans' energy independence, and an intentional tanking of Americans' foreign policy. And why? 19 years America spent in Afghanistan. And Joe Biden, in less than 7 months, soiled the lives of every American soldier who gave their life, who gave their limbs, who gave their heart and soul to the United States military. And Joe Biden just threw it all away, as did Nancy Pelosi, as did Chuck Schumer, in being an obstacle and trying to find out what the truth is in Afghanistan. You know, we see the trillions of dollars of wasteful spending over the last 18 months. We see that. We see the bills. You know, we hear about the 87,000 IRS agents and the weaponizing of the IRS by the Biden-Harris regime as passed by the Democrat-controlled Congress without any input from the other side of the political aisle. We see that. But what we don't see, unless you read deeply, is the antics, or the antics that we're seeing here that's being outlined by Daniel Greenfield in frontpagemagazine.com, frontpagemag.com. And we should be absolutely outraged. Obstacles that are being put in place in order to shield Joe Biden. Any other time in our U.S. history had a president acted this fecklessly with this much malice and treason and had something to hide, he would be absolutely rejected. He would be ridden out of Washington, D.C. Yet this career politician who has nothing to show for his entire political life except being propped up as the puppet that he truly is, this little charlatan is being protected, whether it's him and his son, his sordid son, Hunter. And now we learn from Daniel Greenfield that there are obstacles being put in place, and there is zero transparency to find out what happened a year ago in Afghanistan. And it continues to sicken the American people. It sickens the American people that we have to be subjected to this type of sedition, this type of treason by our own government. I tell you, this election is truly the most important election that we have seen in our lifetime. We've been sold a bill of goods before, but this certainly is going to tell us what road we're going down after November of 2022. You know, I see Val Demings putting stuff on Twitter. Oh, she's going to be, she's going to be the senator that Florida. No, you're not the senator that Florida needs. You vote 100% of the time with Nancy Pelosi. You are a Nancy Pelosi puppet. You voted for the 87,000 IRS agents. And now you want to become a United States Senator? You acted irresponsibly as a chief of police in Orlando? Certainly that will be sanitized. And then you have what's his name? Foghorn Leghorn McConnell talking about Republicans may not win Senate control, citing the quality of candidates. And I'd like to know, okay, Senator McConnell, you seem fit to be okay with Marxist leftists running for the United States Senate like Raphael Warnock in Georgia. Somehow, Raphael Warnock voting for 87,000 IRS agents, okay, to weaponize the IRS against the American people, that seems to be more acceptable than a patriot who's running against him and Herschel Walker. Why? Because Herschel Walker was supported by Donald Trump. Therefore, any candidate who was supported or is endorsed by Donald Trump is not a quality candidate. So we need more swamp dwellers in Washington, D.C. We need more raping of taxpayer money. 87,000 IRS agents was passed by this Democrat-controlled Congress, and it was signed by the buffoon in the White House. 87,000 new employees where the IRS is going to be weaponized to go after American citizens. Do you think it was accidental that the Tea Party no longer exists when Barack Hussein Sator Obama weaponized the IRS to take down the Tea Party? It was no accident, and it's exactly what Joe Biden is doing. He's continuing those same efforts. And the American people are paying for it. The American people, irrespective of your income bracket, are going to pay for it. Yes, our taxes are being raised. They're being raised because government is getting bigger and bigger, all by design, so that they can continue to acquire power into Washington, D.C. And Foghorn Leghorn McConnell states that the quality of candidates is troubling? No, you don't want to get your happy ass out there in a campaign trail and possibly give the Republicans a majority. You're scared because the quality of candidates are not swamp quality. The quality of candidates want to represent we the people because we're sick and tired of what's going on in Washington, D.C. We're sick and tired of the abuse of we the people. The agenda by the Democrat Party is radical. The agenda by the swamp of both sides of the aisle is extreme and radical. You got Nancy Pelosi's husband and her are engaged in insider training. They finally get caught after 30 years. Paul Pelosi simply, I just canceled that transaction. Oh, really? So tell us how you made that $227 million over the last 30 years, Paul. How did Harry Reid go from a $3 million net worth when he entered the United States Senate to being valued over $97 million on $144,000 a year? You figure that out. It's called abuse of power. It's called corruption. McConnell doesn't want to be in the majority. You know, McConnell doesn't need to be the Republican majority leader either. It's time to get rid of these old fossils. It's time to get rid of these people and get new blood in there. Blood who's going to fight for the American people. And that's what the swamp is scared of. We don't need Raphael Warnock, a Marxist, an anti-American, who voted to increase the IRS, who voted for $4 trillion in new taxes, who voted for a green scam. We don't need a Pelosi puppet like Val Demings in the United States Senate, who votes 100% in line with partisan Pelosi. $4 trillion of wasteful spending, killing of small businesses, 87,000 new IRS agents. We don't need people like that. They are a bad quality of candidate. We need people in Washington, D.C. who are going to represent we the people, and that's what's scaring the hell out of the swamp in Washington, D.C. And tomorrow, you have three states, Florida, New York, and Oklahoma, who are going to the polls. And will it be business as usual? It's only the primary. But by God, it's time to send a message. Enough is enough. Send McConnell packing. Send Chuck Schumer packing. Send Nancy Pelosi packing and her entourage. Any candidate who is backed by Nancy Pelosi, who has supported Nancy Pelosi, is nothing other than a George Soros Marxist. And don't forget, they voted for the 87,000 new IRS agents, 87,000 new employees to the U.S. government dole at taxpayer expense. And the green scam that's been going on, this climate change green scam, is nothing but a scam of U.S. taxpayer. $500 billion boondoggle. This is what this cult in Washington, D.C. wants. They want to take more and more of our money, make us more and more indentured to the federal government, and rise the debt to an unmanageable position. Absolute disgrace, Al, what we are seeing today out of this Washington, D.C. crowd. And now the National Association of Realtors and the National Association of Home Builders have declared that we're in a housing recession as sales plunged by 5.9% in July from June. This is the sixth consecutive month of declining home sales. And you have Joe Obama stating that we're at 0% inflation. I mean, this guy is either stupid or he's just flat out dumb. This is the sixth consecutive month of declining home sales and a staggering total drop of 20% from a year ago. Everything that Joe Biden has touched has turned to shit. Sales have plunged and prices remain high. It just seems like it's one thing after another with Joe Obama. And it was all designed because they had to erase Trump from history. Anything that Donald Trump did that was positive, they had the swamp had to take it away. And we're feeling it. And new benchmarks were set now. Don't forget, we were at $1.89 a gallon in January of 2021. And now we're at $4 or $3.79 a gallon for gasoline. And you know what? You know why Joe Biden is pounding his chest? Joe Obama's pounding his chest now because it went from $4.05 a gallon to $3.79. Now $3.79 is the new benchmark. And he said, look, it went down 30 cents a gallon. No, Joe, it's still up 212%, you dummy. But you know what? He's not a dummy because the DNC state news media is protecting him. Just like this Front Page Magazine article where the Democrat Party is shielding Joe Biden from the lies and the total failure of the fall of Afghanistan, the same media is protecting this feckless old fraud. But numbers aren't lying. Home builders have declared that we are in a housing recession as sales plunged 5.9% from July. 87,000 IRS agents. in a $700 billion boondoggle that was passed, and it's this particular pig, the lipstick on it now, is to call it an inflation reduction bill, which is crap. It's not an inflation reduction. It's a green scam bill. $500 billion of the $700 billion is green scam. Plus, you're doubling the size of the IRS for no apparent reason. You have 823 billionaires in the United States, and you've hired 87,000 new IRS agents? What about 87,000 Border Patrol agents, huh? How about that? Why don't we hire 87,000 Border Patrol agents to stop the fentanyl that's coming through the southern border? Now there's rainbow fentanyl, killing our kids, tearing up families. New York City's has some sort of smallpox now has resurrected once again. The disease that's coming through the southern borders, the infected illegal aliens coming through the southern borders. This is all on Joe Obama. 1.2 million Americans are dead as a result of the China virus. And it's the same feckless fraud, Joe Obama, who is castigating then-President Trump because 220,000 people died and there was no vaccine. Remember the claim then when Joe Obama said, hey man, just get the vaccine and you won't get the virus. You won't get corona. Bull. 800,000 people have died since then, Joe. It's on your watch. Did you resign? No. Because you lack the empathy. You have no heart. You have no soul. You're a big man on campus. This is you've reached the pinnacle of your political career, and you were put in there for that reason. Because you have no mind. You have no soul. You have no empathy. And you're a born liar. You're nothing but a thief. And now it's further confirmed in Front Page Magazine, where the federal government, the House and the Senate now are shielding Joe Biden. And the lack of transparency to find out what happened in Afghanistan is being obstructed by the very people who are protecting Joe Obama and the Harris administration. That is sick, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely sick what we're seeing today. We have an obligation as voters in this country come November, and that is to vote out every Democrat who voted for the 87,000 IRS agents. And we'll make one promise to those that are elected, should the Republicans become the majority in the House and the Senate. You best better give 87,000 IRS agents a pink slip on January the 3rd, 2023. You better give each and every IRS agent who was hired under this irrational, this radical legislative body, you give them the pink slip. Because the American people aren't done. You will be a one-term politician if you allow this 87,000 brown shirts to exist past 2023. Foghorn, Leghorn, McConnell, you're done. You need to retire. We the people have had enough. You've abused your power in Washington, D.C. You're stealing from the American people. Nancy Pelosi and her husband Paul got caught with their hands in the cookie jar for the first time in how long with insider trading. And it's shrugged off. Oh, it's like a common thing. Eric Swalwell banging a Chinese spy, Fang Fang. And we're worried about Donald Trump and an empty safe. This is incredible what we're seeing. The abuse of power in Washington, D.C. has run amok. Let's change it. Let's send a message tomorrow. Let's send a message in November. The American people aren't done, and we're not going to take it anymore. Excuse me. Well,
which
breaking news that facility overcrowding causes U.S. Border Patrol to suspend routine patrols. You're talking a little bit about the border. And our state of the border is nothing but Democrat voters coming over to over the border to eventually become Democrat voters to keep the Democrats in power for the next two decades. I believe that is why President Biden has opened the border. And as of right now, breaking news, all field operations within the Border Patrol's Del Rio sector were suspended due to overcrowding at processing facilities, according to a source within the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The absence of agents performing their border security mission was noticeable as migrants crossed the Rio Grande and searched for authorities to surrender to on Sunday. Problem number one, these illegal aliens come into our country and now they're searching for authorities to surrender to. They should be carted, thrown in jail, or thrown back across the border to let the Mexicans deal with them. Now, Breitbart, Texas, posted along several of the busiest crossings along the Rio Grande and Eagle Pass where illegal aliens continue to surrender to the Texas Department of Public Safety troopers and soldiers with the Texas Army National Guard. In one instance, Vito, three of the illegal aliens forded the river and attempted to surrender to Breitbart, Texas. The three Nicaraguan illegal aliens are directed to state authorities more than one half a mile from their crossing point.
God.
Do you get an idea of how bad this is? This open border. I mean, we're hearing how bad it is. We have ideas on definitely how to make it better, how to make it like it was during the previous administration when Trump closed the borders by building the wall. But we need to ask ourselves, and the talking heads need to make a point of saying, why is President Biden making policies that open our border? The only conclusion I can come up with is that President Biden knows so far there have been 800,000 that we know about to a million plus illegal aliens that have crossed the border and are roaming freely within our great republic. Over time, I'm sure that 90% of these are going to become citizens. They're going to get patriated legally by the government. And then once these people, these over 1 million illegal aliens vote, 90% of them are going to vote Democrat. And that'll be power base for the Democrat Party for the next 10 to 20 years. That's the message that needs to be repeated over and over and over by the talking heads. But all they talk about is how smart they are and what needs to be done to fix the border. Any idiot knows that.
Well, certainly. You're talking about Biden abandoning – Joe Obama abandoned the principles that were put in place that were working, that finally were working. It took a year, but those policies under Trump were working. Why abandon it? If you're unless your cause is intentional, your intention is for full open borders. You know, is to embrace the globalist policies, which is what Joe Obama has done. And in embracing those globalist qualities, he's made America a borderless country, which is dangerous, absolutely dangerous. And you know, isn't it ironic, Al, the two liberal mayors in America, the liberal mayor of Washington, D.C., and the liberal mayor of New York, Eric Adams, both are pissing and moaning about how the financial strain that's being placed upon their respective cities with these illegal undocumented aliens being dumped into their cities. Oh, really? Really? So do you think that maybe that same financial strain is being felt by the state of Texas, each and every city and town that is experiencing this surge due to Joe Obama's open border policy, where it's busted budgets, inside of the state of Texas. And now Texas says, if you liberals enjoy open borders, then please, here you go. Here are the illegal aliens. And now the liberals can't afford it because they don't put their money where their mouth is. You know, they come up with all these globalist slogans. And they want you to think that they're superior to any other thinking out there. And then when the reality sets in, they realize, hey, we don't have the money. And that's what we've been trying to tell you, is that the strain, the financial strain of illegal aliens is why you protect your borders. I mean, this is incredible what we're seeing today.
Well, also keep in mind, too, that these cities, the New York City, Chicago, have designated themselves sanctuary cities.
Mm.
Sanctuary cities mean that their leaders believe that their city is a safe zone where illegal aliens can come to be safe. In fact, Border Patrol can't even go in and issue a warrant on one of these criminals who are in a security in one of these cities.
Sanctuaries. Yep.
Yeah, one of these sanctuary cities. They can't even arrest them. So to hear how Mayor Adams in New York City is having a little bit of ajna because a couple hundred illegal aliens have flooded his city in a short amount of time, it makes me laugh. I love it. I want and God bless Governor Abbott. Because that is a brilliant tactic, sending these illegal aliens to these sanctuary cities and letting them deal with it. Because the only thing that these sanctuary city leaders can say is, stop sending me these illegal aliens. That's all they can say. And then it goes back to Biden saying for them to close the border.
It's not going there. No, but, you know, it tells us how fraudulent the left-wing movement is.
Yes.
Of the sanctuary cities. It's absolutely all lip service. It's all theater, you know. And it's the same left-wing mayors, you know, who tried to undermine President Trump. And all Trump did was try to preserve, America and put some semblance of order. And it allowed even the liberal-run communities, okay, to prosper. But now all this smoke and mirrors, or all of these titles like sanctuary cities, it's a fraudulent scheme by the left wing. Because when in fact when realism sets in, such as these illegal aliens being sent to these sanctuary cities, suddenly. These left-wing mayors don't know what to do, and they realize that, oh, wait a minute, you know, we've already passed our $100 million or $2 billion budget, and we don't have the money to pay for it. Well, no kidding. You know, it's further proof that progressivism is a failure. You know, you didn't have these problems back in the early 20s and the turn of the century because there wasn't a welfare system in place. You know, people became productive. Neighbors took care of neighbors. Now the wet dream of the left wing is to put everybody on welfare, give them a living wage, okay, at taxpayer expense. And then suddenly the left wing, you know, mayors are going, well, wait a minute now. We can't afford that. Oh, really? So it was all a campaign slogan for you guys. What happened to sanctuary cities?
Yep, they were there doing that to mock the conservatives, and it's failing miserably, thanks to Governor Abbott. But the Republicans are not to blame either. They're partially to blame, and that the Republican leadership should be filing impeachment charges a year ago against President Biden for violating and not protecting our borders and the national security of the United States of America, because 80% of these illegal aliens that are coming over without getting COVID checks, without getting medical checks, without any knowing anything about them, is a national security risk, and the Republican leadership is equally to blame for this by not filing impeachment charges against President Biden. I mean, what do you think about that?
You know, that's where the Democrat Party, where their theatrics comes into play. They are masters of theatrics. And, you know, while they were in the minority, you know, they played these stunts and these games, and they showed that they wanted to be in the majority. And now that they're in the majority, anything that the Republicans do, it takes a back seat. And they have stemmed the Republicans from doing anything and from being effective. And we know they've stemmed the Republicans from being effective because the $4 trillion plus in reckless spending over the last 18 months has been put together and passed without Republican consent. Everything that's been crafted, including this last $700 billion boondoggle, the $700 billion green scheme boondoggle that masquerades as an inflation reduction bill, was crafted by the Democrat Party. And the Republicans just sit back and they do nothing. And I'm sorry, there comes a time when you can get on Newsmax, you can get on OAN, you can get on NPR, and you can state your case. You know, I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene was filing impeachment charges against AG Merrick Garland. It will go nowhere. It's not gonna make it out of her office, because that's the control that Nancy Pelosi has. That's how cohesive the Democrats are. Now, not to say that the Democrats do it by themselves, because there are those never Trumpers on the Republican side who will not give Marjorie Taylor Greene the time of day, and they're supposed to be of the fellow party, but that's the problem with Republicans. They're not cohesive. You know, we have to stay above the fray. You know, we have to, like Milquetoast McCarthy, you know, we have to stay above the fray. We have to take the higher road. Bullshit. The time for that is over. And President Trump has shown the time for that is over. You make every effort. And you know what? If you have to file impeachment charges against Biden on a daily basis until finally something sticks. But the Democrat controlled media is not going to give the Republicans the time of day. They are not going to allow articles of impeachment to come forth against Joe Obama. Al, we've seen his abuses, his lies, his misinformation, his campaign of propaganda for the last 18 months, and nothing. And I still, you know, you sit there and you say, well, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop, Hunter Biden now, it's proven that Joe Obama Biden has been compromised. He's the big guy. Can you believe, can you imagine back in 1973, if it came out that Richard Nixon was the big guy who was behind? Actually, they have concrete proof that Richard Nixon's the big guy behind Watergate. He's the big guy. Okay, it's bad enough that they drug, you know, Richard Nixon through the coals based on hearsay and innuendo. Okay, but now you got concrete proof that he's the big guy. Fast forward to 2022, we now have concrete proof that the corruption inside the Biden family, Joe Biden is indeed the big guy, was involved in the dealings with the sordid dealings, okay, with Ukraine, with Russia, and China. Joe Obama was getting 10%, the big guy. It's confirmed that he's the big guy. He lied. He flat out lied. He's the president of the United States, okay, with that title, and he flat out lied. He committed treason. Where is one Democrat filing impeachment charges for the corruption by the president of the United States, huh? Where are the impeachment charges by the Republican Party? Not just on the big guys, okay, with China, Ukraine, and Russia, but as you said, with his breach of the border. Treason. So yes, Al, there's two fronts. One is this corruption with foreign countries being bought and paid for, not to mention the Chinese spending $70 million in the Biden Foundation library, $70 million. And it turns out that Biden and his son were deeply in bed with the Chinese government. And yet, where is the DNC media covering this all up? You want to talk about a protected species in Washington, D.C.? I agree with you 100%. It should be each and every Republican, one at a time, file impeachment charges. When on Monday, nobody gets any tracks. Tuesday, another one does it. Wednesday, another one does it. Thursday, and you keep repeating the cycle. I mean, this is – forget about plausible deniability. He didn't even have to deny anything because this media is so corrupt. This government is so corrupt. And the Republicans are to blame as well. I'm so tired of hearing people like Daniel Webster saying, we can't get our message out. That's fucking bullshit. That is bull. Come on this show. Come on every show. Spend, if you really feel that passionate that your message is not getting out, we'll give you 1 hour a day, 7 days a week on Global Patriot Radio. We'll give you 2 hours a day, 7 days a week on Global Patriot Radio. I'm sure Newsmax will give you 20 minutes of airtime a day, 7 days a week. I'm sure OAN will give you an hour or two a day on their network. What about Twitter? What about Truth Social? What about Facebook? And I know the fascists of Facebook will try to temper you, but there are ways to get the message out because at some point in time, somebody's going to say, wait a minute, something's not right here. I'm so tired of hearing this defeatist attitude, and yet the Democrats are in lockstep, and we were to believe that Joe Manchin was this great moderate and Christine Sinema was this great – they're Democrats. They're not moderates. They're Democrats. They are left-wing progressives. They lie to the American people, and they're nothing but big government spending whores. And if that's what you're basing your whole savior of a budget on are two chimpanzees, one from West Virginia and one from Arizona – You're naive. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is so great. I mean, you got the Mar-a-Lago raid, which we touched on a little bit, but it ends up that kind of breaking news, the judge, Bruce Reinhart, who is also the judge for Jerry Epstein, the pedophile. Well, the magistrate judge approved the warrant on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home and admitted that the raid was, quote, unprecedented and formally rejected the Biden administration's argument to keep the warrant affidavit under seal, citing intense public and historical interest. In a filing Monday morning, Reinhart said he rejects the government's argument that the present record justifies keeping the entire affidavit under seal. He should have rejected the whole thing because the FBI was already there 2 weeks earlier. Who packed up all the boxes with this supposed classified material when, in fact, the president can declassify material at will? Who told the president to put a new lock on the storage room where the records were kept? That was the FBI. So clearly he's been in touch with authorities during the whole time. This is a hit job, another hit job on President Trump. And now they're trying to keep it under seal so they can slow walk it like everything else.
Yeah.
This is where the Republicans need to come in and start filing anything and everything against this judge, against the Biden administration for attacking a political opponent. Because this is unprecedented, this is out of hand, and it's been 18 months since Trump has left office. So unless my math is wrong, those documents have been at Mar-a-Lago for 18 months. We even heard such bullshit that there were nuclear codes and nuclear material. Well, I'm sorry, but anybody that's got the nuclear codes or nuclear material, you certainly get on it before 18 months if you know about it. And then after you know about it and you file the paperwork for the raid, the warrant, and then you wait 3 days to execute it, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, I'm partisan. I'll be the first to admit it. But the facts and evidence of those three data points are irrefutable.
You know, I have to tell you, you brought up about the, you know, about the nuclear codes. It was so comical that, you know, one day, okay, so about what, 2 hours after the raid, there was one story coming out. And then within less than 24 hours, then it was nuclear codes were when things didn't stick every time, when the narrative didn't stick and they couldn't figure out what it was, and then they pulled out all this trove information from treasure trove of information from the safe, and the nuclear codes were, and it's like, nuclear codes? What, this nuclear documents? And CNN, these guys are frothing at the mouth with nuclear, and then and then Trump comes out and says there's nothing in the safe. It's like, well, that busted that bubble. Oh my God. I mean, they were making things up as they were going along. They so want this to be true about Trump. They so want to get Trump. It's truly incredible.
And people forget President Trump now is a citizen. He is like you, me, and everybody else. He's not an elected official. He's just a citizen now. And if the government is going to roll on a citizen of the United States like they're doing here with immunity, very chilling. This is like Marxist Russia. This is what third world dictatorships, this is what happens there. This is the United States of America with the rule of law. And this is what happens when the rule of law is not protected and when the opposition party rolls over and has no spine, a linguine spine, and does nothing. All it does is embolden the Marxist Democrats to keep doing what they're doing. And why the hell shouldn't they? They're winning. The Marxists are winning, and we are letting them do it. And it's depressing and scary.
Well, it is. It's nonstop. You know, it's gotten to the point where even, you know, the arrogance of, let's say, like a Liz Cheney, who now believes that the Republicans who support Donald Trump are evil, that this is the hubris behind the swamp. You know, they get their head handed to them on a platter in an election, in a free, fair election. People are rejecting this sordid politics, and it's been one attack after another. Larry Elder said it in 2000 Mules about Donald Trump. Each and every day, there wasn't a day that went by that Donald Trump didn't get attacked by the left wing. Did not get attacked. Anonymous sources, okay, we heard that. Oh, a source close to the president. And it was all bullshit. There's no anonymous sources suddenly in the White House leaking any information. And they weren't just leaking. They were leaking misinformation in hopes that something would stick. And it's just like the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Oh, nuclear codes were, and then files of nuclear file. And it was like, it was one thing after every 5 minutes, there was something so secretive and classified that was in Mar-a-Lago. And it turns out there was nothing in the safe. The safe was empty.
Yeah. Hmm. And then it gets even worse because President Obama is giving up the farm to get that Iranian deal passed.
Oh, my God.
Remember that these are the Iranians that they issued a fatwa in 1988 on Salman Rushdie, who was an author, and the fatwa said to kill him. Anybody could kill him. Well, somebody tried to and failed, and this was a Iranian assassin who tried to kill Salman Rushdie, and he wasn't even born when the fatwa was issued. These are the same Iranians that the Biden administration dropped one crucial demand after another in pursuit of that deal. Any deal with Iran, no matter how crazy or dangerous, and two of the most egregious retreats occurred in the last few days. The Gatestone incident said that the White House effectively decided to sacrifice the Arabs, their interests, demands, and fears in order to appease Iran. Now, the Arabs fear Iran. These are the Sunnis, and that was part of the Abraham Accords, and not to mention the Americans' own interests, which, as President Biden is supposed to pursue, and that would be, we don't want a nuclear Iran. It'll be an existential threat to the United States of America. So President Biden unilaterally dropped sanctions on Iran's nuclear program put in place under President Trump. The hope was to entice Tehran into negotiations. The result was to encourage the mullahs to demand even more. So President Biden's weakness and appeasement, this administration is ramping up to give a nuclear arsenal to the Ayatollah in Iran. Another cause for impeachment that the Republicans should be screaming every chance they get, that President Biden is a national security risk because a nuclear Iran is not good for Team America or the Sunnis in the Middle East who we're trying to remain partners with.
Yeah.
Because they're joining up with Israel, of all people, because they're going to let Israel be their tough guy while they sit back and let Israel take the fight to Iran.
And here again,
it doesn't end.
It doesn't end just right. And where are the Jewish Americans who should be expressing outrage that yet another Democrat administration abandons Israel? Another Democrat Party administration has abandoned the state of Israel.
You got AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, that plays both sides of the fence, which is their mission because they don't care who. Their objective is to keep Israel safe, whether a Democrat or Republican is in office. So they play the middle of the road. You've got J Street, which is total liberal Jews. They're Marxists themselves. They're pieces of garbage. And then you have the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, which I favor and I support, and they are a conservative Jewish group. But so now you see that the Jews in America are split into three different groups, and when you're divided like that, you become weaker, and your influence grows weaker with it.
And what's the purpose of allowing the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, taking them off of the terror list? What is the purpose of that, huh? What is the purpose?
Who knows? President Trump took out Soleimani, the butcher of Iran, who was a known known terrorist. Every president knew about him, and no president would act upon it. President Trump took the guy out. Everyone was screaming, oh, no, this is going to cause World War III. And all it did is it made the Iranians step back, bluster a little bit, and do nothing. But now they're doing something. And they're doing something because President Biden is weak, and when there's blood in the water, the totalitarians, the dictatorships will flex their muscle to see what they can get away with. China hasn't even gone into Taiwan yet. They're running ships and planes, and right now as we speak, they'll go in when their time is right. North Korea is upping their nuclear footprint and their ability to fire rockets into California, nuclear tipped. All our enemies are ramping up what enemies do. They're jabbing us to death in the third round.
Did you see the story?
We're battered and bloody.
you talk about Iran, and you want to talk about right on our shore. Did you see the story in Jihad Watch? Michigan Imama, friendly with Kamala Harris and Gretchen Whitmer, pushes Iranian regime's agenda.
No, I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised.
Well, there is an imam in Michigan who maintains close ties with the Iranian regime, who also is President Rouhani's friend. He's maintained close relationship with the Ayatollahs. And so since the 1990s, Imam Muhammad Ali Ilahi has presided over the Islamic House of Wisdom, IHW, an Iranian-led Shia mosque in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. In recent years, Ilahi has publicly presented himself as a moderate, progressive Muslim devoted to serving the community with blood drives, COVID-19 vaccinations, and welcoming people of all faith to his house of worship. He even serves as a police chaplain for the city of Dearborn. Well, now we're going to talk about, Ilahi seems popular with his work apparently winning the attention of VP Kamala Harris, Michigan Governor's Whitmer, as well as congressional representatives, state and local officials. Yet behind the facade of a friendly community organizing, Ilahi has worked as an Iranian regime operative and maintained decades-long relationship with Iranian leadership, tightly associated himself with the regime responsible for the deaths of at least hundreds of Americans. The regime has remained under some form of U.S. sanction since 1979, and the U.S. Department of Defense calls it the leading source of instability in the Middle East, talking about Iran. Before moving to America, Ilahi served as the head of political ideology for the Iranian Navy in the 1980s, according to both a U.S. government commissioned 87 RAND report and a CIA report. And since deleted biography page of Ilahi's mosque describes his appointment to the position, the post details Ilahi's founding of the Cultural Research Center to explain the spiritual motivations of the martyrs, a since deleted source linked to on IHW's website notes that martyrdom is a goal of Shiite Muslims. So right in our backyard, with open arms being welcomed by Kamala Harris, by Governor Whitmer, you have you want to talk about the chief Dawa propagandist in Dearbornistan. You have this imama who's been a mom at the at the Center for America since 1992. Yeah. Wow. And we wonder why we wonder how we are losing our society. Why is Dearborn lost? You know, why has Governor Whitmer been compromised? Why is Kamala Harris been compromised? And they are embracing, you know, the very ideology that wants Americans dead. I want to put the link in the chat room. This is incredible.
Yeah, earlier today, President Trump filed a motion in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, strongly asserting my rights, including under the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution, regarding the unnecessary, unwarranted, and un-American break-in by dozens of FBI agents and others at my home at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, search and seizure. The government can't do an illegal search and seizure, so... somebody's filing a lawsuit. Thank God it's President Trump, because nobody else is.
Well, you know, I can see Joe Obama in the White House. Constitution? We don't need no stinking Constitution.
And also breaking, Elon Musk subpoenas Jack Dorsey for information about the impact or effect of false or spam accounts on Twitter's business and operations. We haven't heard too much about that. So good for Elon Musk subpoenaing Jack Dorsey for all those bogus bot accounts, which gives value to Twitter, which is not there.
Wasn't that something to the tune of millions? There's millions of bogus bot accounts?
Yeah, that's like saying your customer base is not really what it is because you've got a bunch of fake customers on your books, so you try to sell your business based on the number of fake customers.
Wow.
That's kind of illegal. That's misrepresentation, especially in a deal that big.
You're not kidding.
Once you put it up for sale, I mean, if you're not selling, it's one thing. You can, you know, it's still fraud, and but the government would have to pursue it. But when you're trying to sell your business and money's exchanged hands, then it gets to be very, very real. So hopefully Elon Musk will sue Jack Dorsey because he's a piece of human garbage. Although,
you know,
I like Twitter.
Well, yeah, but the left-wing media outlets, I mean, that they all lean left, and they've abused their power, and they've abused the Constitution, they've abused the First Amendment, and it's just you know, and it's time that somebody challenge them, and they don't like the fact that Elon Musk is challenging them, and good for Elon Musk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it also being challenged, more and more is going to come out. I just saw something, a car girl on Twitter. Liz Cheney is leaving Congress $37 million richer than when she entered Congress. Did you see that? She had a 6-year salary of $174,000, which adds up to $1,044,000. So if she had no expenses whatsoever, she would have $1,044,000. No. She is worth $37 million. So where did she get the additional $36 million? It's just like AOC. She's worth $27 million from what they're saying. Here's a broad. She was worth nothing when she walked into the. She was in debt when she walked into the United States Congress 3 years ago, and now she's worth $27 million. How does that happen?
I don't know. They say crime pays. I say Congress pays.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Yeah, Harry Truman, you know, President Truman had a saying, and President Truman's saying, well, and I have it in the chat room, too, I mean, on our pictures, but you can't get rich in politics unless you're a crook. And you wonder why the establishment is so bent on and retaining power. I mean, it that's incredible. It's incredible. 6 years, $101 million is what your earnings are, and you're worth $36 million. And Trump's a bad guy
because he doesn't play the game. He's not part of the money wheel. And I tell you, when you're talking that kind of money, that's huge bucks. I mean,
right?
How in the world is at 29 years old? This is James Scott Davidson. You remember him? Who's now Haley Davidson, the chick
with the dick.
Anyway, he's worth $11 million at age 29. 29, I barely had a pot to piss in. And this man is worth $11 million pursuing a career in golf? I mean, let's face it. Golf's expensive.
That it is.
That's why there's sponsors. It's expensive to play. It's expensive to go from tournament to tournament and run the circuit. It's expensive to buy your way into each tournament. And if you're lucky, you might make a couple of $1,000s, but usually if you're lucky, you break even. But most people, after expenses, paying your caddy, you lose money. Maybe Haley Davidson should be looking into becoming a congresswoman instead of a professional female golfer as a man. He could be the first chick with a dick to be a congressperson. Now, what party do you think he'll what party do you think James Davidson, a.k.a. Haley Davidson, will run in?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'll have to think about that. I think that might be a trick question.
Not really. I think Democrat.
Okay. You're going to say, okay, the Twigs and Berries Party.
Right. T&B.
Oh, my God.
Well, Twigs and Berries instead of T&A.
Oh, my
God. But James has some big knockers. I was surprised when I was looking at pictures. How does a dude get big knockers? Well, I guess they implant them up, but still, he had some big knockers. And I will always call him a he because until his chromosomes change. If he can get his chromosomes to switch parties, then I'll call him a whatever he wants to be. I'll call him a girl.
Boy, I'll tell you. I just, this is.
I feel very strongly on this subject.
Yeah. Oh, just, God.
Our world is going insane.
It really is.
Nuts. It's nuts. It's twigs and berries.
It's twigs and berries.
Twigs and berries.
Oh, my gosh.
Lord have mercy.
Hey, tomorrow night we've got Eric from Kafira staying with the Cross of the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30, and you heard Hank here earlier, so his show should be interesting on Poly Sports. And Thursday, you got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Friday, you got Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, it's Osama Duck Duck and the Beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And Sunday, you got Eric from Kafiristan will be back with his Real Interfaith Dialogue, a simulcast. It's a great show. If you want to learn about Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, Eric does a fantastic job, and it's a great education couple of hours. Monday, and Al and I will be back. Keep G-Ski of Airwaves America in your prayers. And of course, on Fridays, check out Annie at Southern Sense Talk Radio with her great sidekick, the author Curtis Bennett. From 1 to 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Cheap Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And then you've got Audrey Russo at audreyrusso.com on Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's audreyrusso.com. And if you want a break from politics and sports and Islam, check out Simone Nicole's show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. It's a great self-help show. I'll tell you, I got to give Gulf Dogs and Joshua a bunch of credit there because I think the supplements that and of course you, Al, the supplements that I have been taking, I think were helping in my recovery, and eating right is a big thing too. So thank you, and check out Bigfoot's Place on blogspot.com. Go to www.bigfoot'splace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot, 7 days a week. Big works very hard on it. Great stories. He had some great stories this past week. Aside from sleeping, I did a lot of reading, and I did a lot of reading on Bigfoot's Place. And Big gets some great links there. Some troubling links too, like the one from Front Page Magazine, Daniel Pipes. Sheesh. So go to Bigfoot and hello, bigger, bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, Ducky Northwest. Ducky gets a Mama Mia, no Sharia first in the chat room. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie our deplorable radio chick, Alaskan Boyd, I Guy was in the house, and hello to Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. Mama Mia hugs, baby. Thank you, Hank, for calling in earlier. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. See you next week.
Folks, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Check out our shows right here on Global Patriot Radio 7 days a week. And we'll be back. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So be aware of your surroundings. Be safe out there. We did it my way. Ciao, everybody. Be safe. Thank you.
If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow and did it mine.
was my way.
That's all, folks.
Oh, look at that, we're on time.
Good timing. Boy, that went fast.
It did. I mean, all of a sudden, boom, the 2 hours were up. Holy crap, holy.
You must be exhausted, huh?
I could feel myself. I had to mute myself a couple of times. I could feel like getting winded.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty quick recovery. Well done.
Well, thanks. And thank you, too. I appreciate it. And, you know, I've been popping vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. And then that, I think that ivermectin helped. I really do.
Well, they all, the combination of all of them, who knows, but.
True.
Maybe they all together work. I think it's one big package. But the most important thing is, alone or separate, they do no harm.
Yeah, I mean, so what harm could the ivermectin have done? None, right?
Right.
I mean, it helped.
Been out for how many years? 70 years.
Right. And this is what, see, Al, this is what I from the very beginning, you just couldn't understand. How is it that hydrochloroquine and ivermectin were both rejected as therapeutics when, in fact, they worked? Now, it wasn't the cure-all, and it certainly wasn't the only thing, but by goodness, you know, why weren't we trying these methods? And people were dying.
Well, Fauci probably had his finger in the pot of the two companies who were putting the vaccines together. And President Trump is somewhat to blame for that, although the fact that he got him out within a year and the CDC was not backing anything like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any of the vitamins.
Yeah.
We need a vaccine. We need a vaccine. We need a vaccine. We need a vaccine. And I think the CDC dropped the ball more than anybody. Those crazy,
You know what else?
Crazy edicts.
You know what else really got me? And this is what recently has changed my entire opinion. When Dr. Birx admitted she had lied to Trump and to the Trump administration, which means that Dr. Fauci was in on it as well. They absolutely lied to Trump. That is unconscionable. They should be brought up on charges. There's 1,064,000 people dead as a result of the China virus. Now, not all of them are certainly COVID-related, but they freaking lied. They lied. That is, I'm sorry. You lied to the President of the United States. You conjured up these numbers, and you lied. And you know, you take pride in stating that you lied to Donald Trump. The President Trump and Trump was the bad guy, made out to be the bad guy through this entire ordeal. It's so much so that even Joe Obama stated that anybody who has 220,000 people who died under him should resign. Really? Say, Joe, 800,000 Americans have died under while you've been president. You need to resign, you lying piece of garbage.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have that.
Very true.
You know, I forgot about that.
And those monoclonal antibodies helped a lot of people. And President Biden ripped them out of the hands of Governor DeSantis on as a political move. And those are helping a lot of people who otherwise might have died in a hospital getting that remdesivir that was Fauci stamp of death.
Yeah.
Because it never worked. But monoclonal antibodies did. In fact, it was monoclonal antibodies that got President Trump at whatever, 78, however old he was.
74.
He knocked it out within a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what? You're absolutely right.
That was one of the most evil moves I've ever seen one person do for political reasons they scare everybody to death, and then they rip these monoclonal antibodies because they're wildly popular in Florida thanks to the governor.
Yeah. I you know, you want to talk about playing politics? How mm-hmm. how Joe Biden actually went after the freaking went after Floridians and denied them the treatment that was necessary? I mean, how is it that you suspend monoclonal antibodies and you prevent Floridians from getting treated and there's no backlash, and you're the one, you, Joe Biden, was the one who went after President Trump for 220,000 deaths. In the meantime, 800,000 more people have died, and you denied Floridians the opportunity to get treated and to be treated against the China virus. That is absolutely – this is a, he's a sick man. He really is. But I think that's why he was installed as president, because he has no heart. He has no mind. He has no heart. And this is the type of cold individual that's needed to bring forth these types of radical programs. I mean, you want political payback to a political opponent. Now he's went after DeSantis. He went after the people of Florida, and now he's going after a political opponent. And there's absolutely zero outrage, none by the Republicans. Okay, this is what they impeached Trump for, was going after his political opponent, who was not even a declared candidate for president with regards to the Ukraine issue. This is what sticks in people's minds. This is what drives the American people angry, because of this double standard.
Yeah, and President Trump having to file a Fourth Amendment illegal search and seizure against the FBI for coming into his house is barely making a blip on the news screen at all. That story should be: President sues the FBI for violation of the Constitution to get him? Holy mackerel, King
Holy
Fish.
Holy mackerel. Oh, my God.
And then you have a fight breakout at the Steelers-Jags game.
Oh, really?
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, somebody threw beer in another guy's face, or one way or the other. They had a bench brawl at the game between the fans.
Jesus. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. God. People are insane. Granted, the Boston Red Sox are probably one of the worst fan base. Them and Gators, the Gators, Florida Gators, two of the worst fans anywhere. I mean, yeah, I'm a little biased, but that's just how I feel. Anyway, but Philadelphia also has pretty bad fans.
Yeah.
Don't fight a drop of a hat. But but this, I've never seen a bench clearing brawl at the game amongst the fans like this one.
Oh, right. My God.
It was nuts.
So let me ask you then, is this what the progressive movement wanted? Is this the result of a planned action? I mean, is this what we're to expect now? Because this is what the left wing movement wants. The Marxist movement wants this incivility. They want this civil unrest and this chaos. Right? This is what they want.
That's a great. Well, yeah. I mean, they want revolution. So if the people are at each other's throats, that helps with the revolution, because everybody's divided. So, yeah, maybe I guess this – I didn't look at it that way, but I think you're right. I think this might be a not an added bonus. This might be an unintended consequence of all of this Marxism. Because think about it with professional sports.
I'm watching these. Okay, so now fights are breaking out at sporting games, sporting events. You see the civil unrest in restaurants and the tearing up of McDonald's and fast food joints and people just becoming totally unhinged. And I read Prairie Fire, and it's like, wow, this is exactly what Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn wanted in 1967. It's exactly this is exactly what was planned out in Prairie Fire. This is what this is the reason why they put Barack Obama in place in 2002. This is what they put Barack Obama in place for. I get it. I you know what? You just and you know what? You read their writings and you listen to them, and it's like, holy cow, they're telling you what they want to do. And that's why I asked you. I mean, certainly Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you know, and the Communist Manifesto is what we're seeing being played out. And I just think this is more. This is more of what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
It just doesn't happen.
No, at least with sports. I mean, take the national anthem out of it. The national anthem is kind of like the glue that binds everybody in the stadium together.
Mm-hmm.
Under one flag, respecting the United States of America. Where the game is played, regardless of what team you're rooting for, becomes secondary to everybody with one purpose, to take, like you said, a minute 20 to stand there with your hand over your heart and be quiet while the national anthem is being played. Might not sound like a lot, but I think psychologically and culturally it is huge to have all those thousands of people have a single purpose for that 1 minute and 20 seconds. And to take that away, I don't know. Maybe I'm barking inside the wrong kennel, but I think they're related. Like you said, that's a pretty, that is a pretty good analogy there, buddy.
No, thank you. Thank you. I like, that's why I'm getting more and more into hockey. You know, for 1 minute and 27 seconds, you listen to the national anthem. And for 1 minute and 25 seconds, you listen to the Canadian national anthem. And both teams stand for both with their hand on their heart, and they show the respect and the decency. And I think that's just fantastic. That's what I love about it. I mean, you know, I wasn't a big hockey fan other than, you know, liking the Rangers and the Islanders, but, I think even I have more respect for the hockey players. They stand for both national anthems. Both are played, and it just goes to show the class of the professional hockey player.
Yeah, and usually at the end of the game, both teams will take to the ice and form a line and shake each other's hand, and off they go.
Yeah, well, the one guy's bleeding from, you know, both two guys are bleeding from being, you know, punching each other's lights out, and then they shake hands at the end.
Yeah. They used to do that in college basketball until that one BLM coach took a shot at a player. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that Howard?
Yeah, I can't. Dwight Howard? No.
No.
Maybe
it's... It was a Howard, though. He was from the he played for Michigan, didn't he? He used to play for the University of Michigan.
Yeah, I got a mind block on that. But,
yeah, me too.
But you remember the event.
Yes. Yep. Just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it's all these little things. In school, saying to the flag every morning in school, the Pledge of Allegiance.
God almighty, talk about unhinged. Holy jeez.
Yeah. You remember doing that when you were a kid? The whole, it was in morning class, what do they call it? Homeroom. And then everybody will turn to the flag, say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
Nobody's paying attention. Nobody really cares but everybody does it. And if you didn't want to do it, you just sat there and shut the hell up.
Yes, exactly. You didn't want to do it, you shut up.
Right. And then they stopped doing that because there's God in it. Or for whatever reason.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Here we go. We'll end on this note. Forget about Porky Pig. Here we go. Have a good one.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty, and justice for all.
21 seconds, Al. 21. It's become the most offensive thing to liberals who are so afraid of the Pledge of Allegiance, of pledging allegiance to the United States of America that's given them an opportunity, the land of the free, home of the brave, liberties and freedoms.
Boy, that would be a great title for a documentary. 21 seconds to change our nation.
Ooh.
To rebuild our nation.
Rebuild
21
our
seconds
nation.
To rebuild our nation.
Wow.
John Wayne will lead it. God,
there you go.
I think you stumbled onto something brilliant.
Well, we'll have to pursue it.
There you go. All right, my brother. You have a great evening. Welcome
you too.
Back to the land of the living.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. You're going to play golf. You're going to golf this weekend?
I don't know. You know what? I haven't played in 2 weeks. I haven't picked up a club. I think I'm going to – I might try to get out there. Yeah. I'm going to be sore as hell. I know that. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell Mrs.
Congratulations.
Vito,
I will. And congratulations on good shooting, man.
I appreciate it. And have a great week.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Sue. You take care. Mama Mia hugs to
bye,
you soon.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.